Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
This message that you have prepared for our people will be combustible and flammable in their lives and burn up anything that is not of you, and to ignite hearts, open minds to what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's the disclaimer, warning. This message could be destructive to discommunication. I don't know if that's a word, but ineffective communication, this is hazardous to ineffective communication. I want to communicate for a change. And some of us just, we need to learn how to communicate for a change. Part of the problem is that it isn't that people aren't saying things. There's a lot of people talking. There's just not a lot of people listening. One of the aims that I want to go after this message, and I may do part two next week. I know we have a tremendous amount of people gone for a lot of reasons, and I'm in between services. I'm starting to feel the fire like, yeah, we may need to do a part two. But let me get through part one, and I want to go after this idea of listening. So I was in a place of business this week, and I walked in, and I was just conversing like I always do with the receptionists and just being friendly and whatnot, and they said, gosh, we just got off the phone, and we can't get a hold of them. We just got ghosted. So being a pastor, I was like, holy ghosted? No, ghosting. Clarify. Tell me what you mean. Well, ghosted. I'm like, no, tell me what is ghosted? Here's what they said. They said that it's just, you know, we have clients that all of a sudden they just fall off the face of the planet. They're totally off the grid. It was like we're a ghost and we no longer exist. So I began to do some digging. Here's a definition. This is the urban definition. I'll put that up on the screen. Apparently, it's the practice of ending a personal relationship with someone by suddenly and without explanation, they withdraw from all communication. And so I didn't mention this in the first service, but I did a survey with a number of people. Some of our young adults gave me some great feedback on this term, which many of them were familiar with. And Amber Teal, who is a clinical counselor, she deals with this a lot. In fact, every one of her clients, she says, have been ghosted in their interpersonal relationships and in their disconnection and discommunication with people. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is an issue. I want to go after that because here's the problem. What it says to the people that they have now completely cut off all communication with, it says this to the person. It says, I'm not worthy to even say goodbye to. A lot of fog here. Wow. I'm getting holy ghosted. No. Fog machine, yeah. Anyway, if you're online and you can't see the fog, that's all right. Anyway, it communicates, ghosting communicates, I'm not even worthy to even say goodbye to. This happens in interpersonal relationships. It is an epidemic. I ask my teenagers, have you heard ghosting? Yes, you haven't been ghosted yet. I hope you never do. But literally, this is what's happening, and what they're finding is people that practice this habit of just cutting off all forms of communication, what they're learning is the people that are doing it constantly are dealing with their issues of rejection, fear of rejection, abandonment, all of that stuff, they're learning how their coping mechanism, I will cut you off. And the problem with that in the social sphere is that it doesn't end in the social sphere. It actually will translate into live one-on-one interpersonal dynamics. You cannot separate the social online stuff and the regular stuff. If you learn how to cut people off online, if you're in your car and you learn how to flip people off, you will translate that into your everyday life. And yes, I just said flip people off. Something is happening inside of us that causes this. I don't know if y'all know this little secret. This is 2020. It's election year. I'm going to share a little secret. At least once a quarter during said election year, this guy will remind you of something. That you're not a Republican or a Democrat. You're a Christian. And I remind you, because there's a lot of people talking about a lot of things online, on talk shows, on talk radio, but there's not a lot of people listening. What if we had, instead of talk shows, we had listen shows? What if we had listen radio instead of talk radio? You know, there's a reason that people like to talk, but there is another reason why people don't listen. Because maybe we've been shouting our message of Jesus out there loud for everyone to hear, but maybe they're not connecting, because what we're saying is that if you would just be like me, everything would be okay. Instead of the message, go to Jesus and become just like him. Come follow our rules. Let us control you. And then we wonder why everyone's shouting back, and then get mad at the politicians who do the same. I know I can feel the spinning in the room. You're like, well, but I'm right. You are right, and in your rightness, you can be wrong. Do you want to be right, or do you want to connect with people? Anybody can blab out their opinion. That's easy. Not everyone can listen. By the way, you're doing a great job listening today. Well, Kibby, are you saying you don't have super strong opinions about things that are right? Let me set the record straight. I have super strong opinions about things that are right. And I have super strong facts that are absolutely fact, but in my rightness, I can be wrong in the way I express it if I'm not careful. There's a scripture, there's one piece of scripture this week that I want you to chew on all week. It's in the book of James. I call it plain James, James the brother of Jesus, James who gives us super practical advice that if we could learn from this one power-packed portion of scripture this week, we could create a revolution just like that if we actually adopted what he's saying. And it's in James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to talk, slow to listen." Well, I realize that I got that out of order, but that's just preaching what we normally do. Here's a new paradigm. We are going to live out what that word says. We're going to be quick to listen, slow to speak. And the fruit of that is slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Stirring myself up 24/7, Fox News, CNN, NBC, Republican, Democrat, pumping my veins full of truth in the name of being right. All that's going to do without going to Jesus is stir up a lot of anger, outrage, and somebody in my line of sight, I'm going to find them and I'm going to tell them how angry I really am. Everybody's talking about their anger, but not everyone's listening and empathizing. Think of the person that you are most angry with, who have views that are completely different than yours, and ask yourself a question: can I treat them just like Jesus because he died for them? By the way, I get to listen to this message too. Slow to speak, quick to listen. This can affect every area of our life. Here's what happens though. Shame and miscommunication can create filters in our mind where the people that we're super mad at, that, Ryan, you don't understand, they're totally wrong. And when I'm listening to you, I totally agree. They're totally wrong. But in them being totally wrong, how do two wrongs make a right in the way you treat them in their wrongness? I didn't sign up for this today. William Ury, who I think gives a great TED Talk, which I was thinking, I know it's a TED Talk and it's not church, but I thought, man, if we could get most Christians to listen to his TED Talk on listening, he talks about, in his TED Talk, he's a top-level negotiator for businesses all over the world, and one of his top primary jobs is to go in and hear the problems, get the feedback, and listen to what the issues are with the personalities and people in play. Because I don't know if you know this, but we're all created different. We all have different skill sets, different ways of processing. You can tell one person five, you can say the same thing to five different peoples, and I guarantee you, you can get five different interpretations about what was communicated. Because one person may be looking at the fact that I'm holding my hand up while I'm talking and are totally distracted. The other person is looking at my eyes going, is he for real? Can I really believe him? I don't know if I'm hearing him. I'm not connecting with him. The other person is looking at the clothing going, really? He had to wear those shoes? Really? Really? I don't get it. Really? Seriously? Like, I mean, come on, dude. Present yourself a little bit more, you know, professional. All of those things are going off all in our mind all the time. Am I only one here who's been through this, okay? What we say isn't just what we say. We communicate a lot of different things to a lot of different people in a lot of different moments. And Ury, his job is to go in and listen. And so he gets charged with an incredibly difficult task. He has to go stand in front of a Venezuelan dictator, Chavez, and help negotiate a deal with a factional party that's anti him and try to deal with some things that are affecting the whole country. So how much pressure would you feel going in, standing before a Venezuelan dictator? He goes in. Chavez's assignment, go talk to the other people. He does. He asks questions. He finds out the information from that party, comes back to the other guy, to Chavez, stands in front of Chavez, and Chavez says, whoa, what did you hear? Ury says, oh, I heard some good things. I think it's going swimmingly well. What? And Chavez goes off for 45 minutes, he says. You can see this in his, he goes off for 45, I mean, he's emptying every bullet in the arsenal. Everything, he's just unloading. And Ury talks about this. He's feeling very angry inside because of what's being said. And so all of a sudden, Ury says he can't hear because all he's feeling is this presence from Chavez. 45 minutes later, Ury says he fights his own desire to interject and to shut Chavez down, but he realizes he's a dictator and I like my head. So I'm going to listen. So he listens and he listens and he listens for what Chavez is saying. He listens for what he's not saying. He gets to the end. He finally gets done and he looks at Ury and Ury looks back and he says to him, so Ury, what would you do? And Ury says, that's the sound and an open door for a mind that is open. And I thought, wow, I have to listen to a TED talk for a principle that every Christian should hear very clear, and that is we need to be slow to listen, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Have I read that scripture in fully? Did I read the full scripture about saving our souls? Did I read the full scripture? I need to read that scripture to make it legal. See, you're listening. Good job. Doing a lot of talking up here. But you're listening. James 1, verse 19. Quick to listen, slow to speak. I read that part. Slow to get angry. Read that part. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. Notice there's a connection to being quick to talk and slow to listen. And filth. Boom. And humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it is the power to save your souls. By the end of the message, I'm going to correlate all of this to the saving of your souls, and I don't just mean going to heaven. I'll explain that more in a moment. But it all ties together because we are all connected, and the way we listen and the way we communicate to each other will change atmospheres, environments. If the church is constantly talking and talking and talking at each other without listening, how in the world can the world model what the church does if the church is nothing but doing what the world already does? We need to set the course and the standard to be able to hear what God is saying and deliver that. And God listens. Jesus listens to you and to me. So if we're going to live like Jesus, we need to listen to what he's saying and what he's doing through other people instead of loading up because we're right. Yuri was a great example. How do you listen? How do you listen? In ordinary listening, we hear the words and we often start with, here it is, this is what gets talk shows going. We start with and we gather around what we agree with. Well, I like what Ryan's saying today. I agree. He's speaking the word of God. It's true. Until next week, you show up and I speak the word of God and you say, I don't agree. And what I do is I shut down from actually knowing what's being said because now I've got something I've got to deal with. And if I have to deal with it, it means either you're right or I'm right, but either one is forcing me to make a decision. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ghost Ryan. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to leave this relationship. I'm going to leave this business. I'm going to leave this job. I'm not going to give him any feedback because the discomfort of that is too painful. And we wonder why we're not getting breakthrough. The reason we don't get breakthrough is because there's people that you need to be listening to instead of talking at, and those very people are the people that can lead you into your next breakthrough if you would simply listen. Let me be blunt. Some of the most offensive people in my pastoral life have led me to the greatest breakthroughs. The most offensive. I had a lady one time, I didn't say this in the first service, I had a lady one time at the end of a service rake me over the coals because I shut down the anointing of God. Raked me over the coals. And I sat there and I listened. And I'm like, oh God, Lord, I'm so sorry. I should have extended worship 38 and a half more seconds and then we would have not lost the anointing because that's what she said. If we would have just sang, you're worthy of it all, 38 and a half more seconds, we would have had breakthrough. In her words, people would have gotten healed. I didn't say this in the first service. The Lord dealt with me on that. 5 minutes later, I walk into the kids' area, and I'm totally shaken. I'm totally ripped apart. She had no interest in hearing me. She just shouted at me, demeaned me, belittled me, made me feel like garbage. And I'm sorry. I'm human. I'm just like you. I'm a human being. I'm a person. That is unbelievable. Pleasant with a capital U. And I went into the other room and I felt like bawling. And the Lord said, see that person over there? I want you to pray for them. I'm like, Lord, you don't understand. I'm ticked off. I'm hurt. And I shut down the anointing, Lord. And so his response was, pray for this person over here for healing. I prayed for her for healing and they got healed. Yeah. And then he said, the anointing is never shut down. He used that to teach me something about how to break through my own personal pain and filter so I could hear what my Father is doing. So I need to learn how to be quick to listen through my pain so I'm slow to speak, and my flesh wanted to puke all over her and just tell her how wrong she was for being so disrespectful because she didn't see what I did all week for her to come to this amazing environment so she could puke over me and vomit and tell me how right she is. Am I connecting with anybody here? We've all felt this way. What I needed from her was to be understood. Because maybe there's things at play she didn't see. Anyway, I say all that to say, that's one example. How do you listen to each other in your marriages, on the job? In ordinary listening, we load up. Where do we agree or disagree? Churches, denominations are filled with people. I agree, I disagree. And I'm not saying you're not called to this house or that house. I truly believe God has a place, a home church environment for every person in this city. I truly believe. And I truly believe they're not all called here. But I will say there are people that are not here that probably should be here, but because they could not fight through their triggers and their wounds, they would not engage and have interaction with other people, they're going to repeat the cycle and ghost another pastor somewhere else. Does that make sense? Okay, and here's the thing. If any of you are thinking right now, I want to address the elephant in the room. If any of you are thinking, I'm preaching out of my pain because somebody has left me or left their church or whatever because I said or did something, just understand God dealt with that issue with tears in my heart many, many years ago. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with advancing the kingdom, and I do it for him, not for people's approval, or I don't take it personal. Does that make sense at all? Am I connecting with you on this? I don't need you to come here to make me feel good. It's not about me, it's about him. Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay? Can we settle that issue? And so that doesn't mean that I like being ripped over the coals. If you're a business owner, if you're an employee somewhere, none of us like to be raked over the coals. We all like to be heard, yes? Okay. In genuine listening, so I told you how most people do. They gather around agreement. In genuine listening, however, the spotlight moves from you hearing me to me hearing you. It means that my frame of reference is no longer about me. I'm actually listening for you. I hear the human being behind the words. I had another example. Is it okay if I just totally throw myself under the bus this morning and tell you about all the ways where I've screwed this up so that maybe some of you will understand how to do this? Is this okay? For those of you that brave Snowmageddon, can we just be real? And by the way, I also settled the issue too, that if I can't be transparent in my humanity up here, then truthfully, I'll go find another place where somebody else will do that, because I feel better when I know that I'm following somebody who isn't perfect, that they're going after the one who is perfect. Thank you, Luann. Amen. So I have not arrived, but I will say this. I'm a learner. I'm a relentless grower, and I'm a learner. And so I had this situation a month or two ago. Maybe it was about a month ago. And a friend of mine in the church, I had said something boneheaded and stupid on the phone. Just being honest, it was one of those deals where I'm an external processor. So people who know me have learned to listen around me, knowing how I am, because they're connected to me. They know me well enough to know that sometimes I'll just say something stupid or outrageous, not really meaning anything by it, but because I'm an external processor, things fly out of my mouth sometimes. And then the good news is when you're that way and God designed you that way, you can say a lot of really good things. The bad news, you can say a lot of really dumb things. But God gave me a gift, and so my strength can become my weakness. Well, when I say dumb things, I created feedback loops around my team so that they're experiencing me and they can go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Are you saying this? There's a safety in them confronting me on that so that I can work through that, and they give me the opportunity to clean up my mess. So this is how I am, because some of you are internal processors, some of you are external processors. I am an external. I'm married to an internal. That's interesting. So anyway, back to the story. I'm on the phone with this leader, and I said something, and I made it, instead of genuine listening to him, I was listening for me, meaning I made it about me on that phone call, and I didn't realize I was making it about me on that phone call. And all what I recognized was, oh, I said something that really disturbed him, and I had to go back and clean up my mess and say, you know what? If I were in your shoes, I totally hear you. I listened to his whole thing. We met in person, and I talked to him, and I'm like, okay, I get it. If I was in your shoes, I would have felt the same way. What am I doing there? I'm validating how he felt. Then I had to say, not only do I see that, I can understand how you did that. Here's, after listening, what was going on in my world. It's not an excuse. I'm telling you what happened. There's no excuse for my dumb comment that I made. So I made sure to tell him, there's no excuse for my dumb comment. But then he was more interested in hearing all of the plates that were spinning on my plate at that time when I made a dumb comment. So he felt heard. Guess what? I felt heard. Here's the beauty of it. He also saw a leader clean up his own mess. So I communicated several things. A, I'm approachable. B, I'm correctable. C, I care more about our relational dynamics than I do about being right. And let's be honest, nobody likes to work with or for people who don't own their own stuff. Now, I do this with our team, they do it with each other, and that's what I expect of church culture to be just like Jesus. We need to actually understand that we're all created different. And by the way, that person could have ghosted me, but I did a follow-up with him just last week. I said, so how has God moved in your life since my boneheaded comment? It was insensitive. It was unintentional, but it was insensitive, and I made a dumb mistake. And he said, you know what? I feel more safe and actually more secure because we work through that. We're actually tighter. Let me tell you, when you communicate for a change to actually understand where people are at, God is going to take you farther, not just in that relationship, but there is a reciprocal effect where if you don't ghost here, you won't ghost there. And if you do engage people at the heart level here, it'll affect over there. I mean, if I was telling one thing to one young person today, I would say this. When you communicate, don't hide behind the screen. Don't hide behind the digits. Don't hide behind the digital thing. Look people straight in the eye. When you're going for a job, look them right in the eye. Give them a firm handshake and say, I can't wait to be here. I'm excited. And communicate what you believe and how you believe it. And just be authentic you without being intimidated behind the screen. People are hiding behind the screen. They're real bold in print until they see you eye to eye. I love our digital world. I think it's awesome. There's things that we can do with it, but I'm saying that is creating a culture of people that want to ghost everything. God is saying, I want effective communicators of the gospel who use their words, who communicate and preach the gospel, and as one guy said, even use words when necessary. I believe that was St. Francis of Assisi. All right, I'm almost done. Hey, we're all snowed in. We got a few extra minutes. Relax. Listen. I think I'm going to give you a homework assignment this week. First service, I did it too. I really want you to look at the Gospels this week and look at Jesus. And here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a bunch of these stories. I'm going to give you the addresses in Scripture of Jesus engaging these people. And many of you have read these stories before, but here's the lens I want you to read it this week. I want you to go back into the Scripture this week and read these stories with the idea that Jesus was an awesome communicator and that he communicated for a change, and the way he was most effective was that Jesus was a great listener. So what I want you to do is go back into these addresses this week that I'm about to give you and tell you the story, and I want you to look at, wow, I see it. Jesus was a great listener. First one, John chapter 8. You know the story. The woman caught in adultery. A lot of talkers happening in that situation. A lot of angry, righteous indignation. Fox News, CNN, stone them, stone her. Well, we won't stone the guy, but we'll stone her. Well, where was the guy? Well, it doesn't matter. We're right. Well, it takes two to tango. Well, it doesn't matter. We're right. Stone him. Here's what Jesus does. He was so concerned about what was going on. He's connecting with his father, I believe. It's my personal bent. He was connecting with his father while he was writing something in the ground. I do, when I get to heaven, want to find out what he wrote in the ground while he's... There's a lot of great stories on that, but I don't have time for that one. But he's writing something. I'm convinced while they're throwing the accusation, Jesus, who is the perfect representation of the Father, is connecting with the Father in that moment to get a download as he hears him to give to them in the right context. Notice he didn't shut down their accusation. He let them go. But boy, when they were done, his response was, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." He shut down accusation because he took time to hear him and respond as the Father would. Another example, John chapter 4, the woman at the well. When you read that story, look at the conversation. Jesus, in a place that he normally wouldn't be located in Samaria, with a woman that at the time of day probably would normally not be alone with, to the eyes of his disciples who are like, "Jesus, is this like okay? Because we're not used to this. This is a little uncomfortable." He engages this woman into a dialogue, and he asks a series of questions, and he starts to get a series of questions, and then he gets a word of knowledge that he releases in due season in that conversation. This woman is marveling, but can you imagine if Jesus, in this conversation with the woman at the well, said, "By the way, my name is Jesus, and the Father just gave me a bunch of words of knowledge about the five husbands that you have and the one that you're living with." What if Jesus led with that instead of listened to her story first? But we have prophets do that all the time online, and they call that Jesus. Slow to listen. Quick to listen. Gotta get that right. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Asking questions. Matthew 19, the rich young ruler. Jesus challenges the young man. He wasn't afraid to enter a dialogue. Gets him to a place where he has to make a decision. I'm convinced it hurt him that the rich young ruler could not let go of the one thing that he needed, which was right in front of him. But Jesus engaged him in questions and answers. John 11, Lazarus dies. We see a Jesus listening to Mary and Martha, listening to their anger. I'm convinced that Mary and Martha probably were like you and I in a moment. If we're going to be totally transparent and real, most of in this room have gotten right in God's face and accused him. Let's be honest. And Jesus in that moment isn't defensive. The Bible says he did what? He wept. I don't think he was weeping because necessarily Lazarus was dead. I think my personal belief in that is that he was weeping because he cared so much for his people and he was entering their pain. He was able to connect, and of course he raises him from the dead. Start looking at the narrative and the dialogue of Jesus. How did Jesus deal with Pharisees who brought nothing but accusation? Because Jesus was approached by people all the time who came with one of two things, either a spirit of curiosity or a spirit of accusation. Jesus was perfect in engaging every situation and every scenario because he learned how to hear the Father through it. A sidebar to some of you. If you're listening to nothing but noise all week and you're not getting alone with the Father, as Jesus was often to do, says he retreated to lonely places. If you're not getting alone with the Father, you will not have spiritual capacity to take on your accusers or those curious. And what will happen is you'll confuse them. The people that are curious, you'll treat as an accuser because you don't have the spiritual time put in with him to hear the difference. It's called a filter. Are y'all tracking? Now CNN, Fox News, and every political spirit out there becomes your filter instead of the Father. And so it's going to trigger you. I'm not prophesying to you. I'm telling you this is an opportunity for us to overcome. Jesus engaged in dialogues. He asked questions. If God does that, we need to do that. I'm about to be done here, I promise. One more example for you to look up. John chapter 1. Read the story of Jesus with his mother turning water into wine. It's a beautiful story, but I love the idea that in the moment, his mother puts a demand. Jesus, we need wine. We're out of wine. Make it happen, son. Make it happen. And he says, not time. It's not my time yet. There's a connection there that she knew him so well that she says to a servant, yeah, just do whatever he says. Like he knew something was up. And so Jesus goes to the Father. He had to, because Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. He thinks as the Father thinks. He is the exact representation of the Father. And all of a sudden, Jesus changes his mind in front of her and says, you know what? Change of plans. We're going to turn the water into wine. Now, if Jesus has to learn how to do that and to hear people in those moments, we do too. You say, well, he's fully God. He absolutely was. But I will remind you that Philippians 2 says he emptied himself of his divine privilege and he became 100% man and 100% God. And the invitation is for us to model what he's modeling. Are we going to screw up at times with our filters? You bet. But if we don't learn how to listen to one another, especially in a political year, there's going to be a lot of right people who are angry. And the fruit of that isn't righteous. It's not righteous. It's division and it's factious. The end of that scripture says, in humility, receive the word. How can you receive the word spoken from the Father to you if you're not listening? So I'm going to encourage you in 2020 to do a lot more listening and a lot less talking. But I'm right. You're right. But everyone's right when they're right. I don't think that cult leaders got up and said, well, of course they're right. Because they're right. Okay, yeah, let's finish this. Jesus shows us how to echo and engage. My wife and I have had conversations where I mentioned in the first service, I'm about to close, I promise, sort of. My wife and I have been in conversations, my team and our staff have been in conversations where my filter, I could not physically hear what they were saying. I'll give you an example. My wife and I were driving back from a marriage retreat. It was just a weekend. This was Eagle River. Remember that, honey? My wife's vocal tones in the car, we got lost. If you're a guy and you get lost, that's a trigger. My wife said something very kindly in that moment. In that moment, as a pastor, this was like 5 years ago. In that moment, as a pastor, completely vulnerable, I let a few four-letter words fly. I'm just letting that sit. I'm trying to see how judged I am in the moment. Slow to anger, quick to listen, slow to speak. What happened was the vocal tones that she spoke at with me mirrored something that the Lord brought up years prior when I was a child, and it spoke to a trauma that I'd had as a child. And her vocal intonations literally set me off. And it wasn't until we worked through the conflict resolution and went back into it and said, wait a minute, I want to understand you, Ryan. That makes no sense. I want to understand you. And I'm like, I don't either. I just dropped a few four-letter words. I suck as a pastor. I want to resign. We went back in it, identified the trauma, prayed to the Lord. Lord, thank you for sharing this with us. The word has now been implanted in my heart, which has the ability to save Ryan's soul. Meaning, I'm going to heaven. That's not the issue. The issue was my soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. So when I receive what was spoken and said by the Father through her, and I got revelation, which is having ears to hear, that's what that means. I got a revelation. This was an issue for me. It implanted in here, and guess what? I don't have that problem anymore, and it saved my soul. It brought my mind, my will, and emotions all into healing. That's where we're all at. That's why on the line, we hear different people with different giftings, Republicans shouting at Democrats, and I can't believe Pelosi, I can't believe Trump. And they speak with such derogatory, because you haven't experienced where they are at. You haven't lived their life. You haven't been in their trauma. You've had yours. Right. And you're more interested in yours than theirs. And that's why you spew the venom. Right. Yeah, I just said that. One more, and then I am going to close. I swear. This is for somebody in the room. This is for leaders, owners, business people, whoever. It's for everybody. But how to hear your team. How to hear your team. Super important. I'm in another, this is another example of the implanted word. Humbly receiving it into your, that changes your soul. It changes your mind, your will, and emotions. And it's communicating for a change. I'm in a meeting in here. Four of our team members ask very legitimate questions. Ryan, are you saying this, 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 and this? Do you know what I heard? I didn't hear honest, legitimate questions. What I heard was, you suck as a leader. Nobody knows what you're doing. You're a terrible person. You suck as a pastor. You might as well upchuck and die. Wah, 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 wah. So I'm hearing things. I'm hearing, but I'm not listening. Well, Ryan, you're not listening. I know. Because all I'm hearing is that. Say humility. Humility is going to your team and saying, Rick, I experienced this question this way, and I know your heart was right. But here's what I heard. And when I expose the lie and I engage in connection, say connection, we communicate. He's now entering into my story and I'm telling him what my filter was and what I actually heard. Now he can understand me. And once he understands me, I understand him. And now I don't have the same problem anymore. So now if I'm in a meeting and something pings me, I can say, I'd like to clarify. Is what you're saying this? What I went into was fight or flight because of the trauma, and I couldn't hear because my brain was all clogged and fuzzy. But once I dealt with it, the word implanted in here that has the ability to save your soul, guess what it does? I no longer flush with anger because I'm hearing shame that I don't have what it takes. So now I hear my Father, who says, you are perfectly able to lead. People are here, and they're following me through you. Be you, and do the next right thing, and everything will be okay, because you're my son, and you have what it takes. And I've anointed you and appointed you to do this. Oh! See the difference? Stand up. Hard close. I'm just going to pray over you. Ministry team, for those of you who are here, I know we had a lot of them that couldn't make it. I'm going to do a quick hard close here. I normally don't go this long. I went super long today. I'm so sorry. And don't say, yeah, whatever. Okay, Lord. Okay, close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to envision yourself dealing with people that you've been hurt by. I want you to envision you dealing with people that are scary, like a Chavez. I want you to envision people that you're afraid to have a crucial conversation with. I want you to envision having these scenarios. And I want you to ask the Lord a question in your mind. Do I have the ability to listen to them without loading up? Can I use the gift of faith to be able to hear until they're done without interruption? Do I have the ability to hear their pain and enter into their story so that I can hear something for them, but more importantly, I'm also learning something about me? And whoever that person is, your homework assignment is to go to the Father this week and ask them, Lord, how do I approach them in a way that honors you, where they can be heard and understood? Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a child, maybe it's whatever. There's people in this room right now that is coming to your mind. And the goal is to be real and authentic and to really hear where they're coming from, where the fruit of that disconnection is. I realize there are some cases where people have done horribly divisive, cruel, and even abusive things where that situation may not present itself immediately. But I want to see yourself being free of intimidation to go there. So, Father, I bless them. I bless them that they are, repeat with me, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. In Jesus' name.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.